Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here. Thank you for the car. I never had a car as nice as that. It's parked out front there. It's white, and it's a Buick LeSabre 2004. So I'm very grateful. That was a thrilling phone call from Brother P.T. Thank you. We'll look together at the gospel. It's a simple message. Well, it's very profound, it's very deep, it's very vast, the gospel. Some people think the gospel is just a simple little message, and I've heard that. The gospel is much, much more than that. It is a presentation of the person and the work and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ continually. I think that's another reason why the enemy is so opposed to the gospel. Not only are souls saved by the power of God, but it actually is worship. It causes us as God's people to worship Him. It brings us back to where it all began. I want to read a couple of verses in Isaiah 53, if you care to read along with me. Verse 1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form, nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Psalm 22. Verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Verse 6, I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head. Now, we'll read now in Luke chapter 23, and we'll just sort of look at what transpired during that brief time when two thieves had a conversation with our Lord. Luke 23, excuse me, and verse 32, and there were also two other malefactors or criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with him derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, truly, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And God will bless the public reading of his word. There was a time when we lived, my boy's real small, we lived in a place called Wolfville, Nova Scotia. Katy University is there. It's a beautiful place. There is an old churchyard and an old graveyard there in Stars Point. It's still there today. Now, one day a young man had spare time, heard the gospel, just put it up like a lot of people do, put it out of their mind. He's strolling in the graveyard, just looking at some of the tombstones. One was lying down. Out of curiosity, he said he picked it up. And there were some lines inscribed on it. And he read the lines. And those lines were like an arrow from God. That's what you need if you're here this morning and you're not saved. You need an arrow from God right into your heart. You need to have a revelation of yourself as God sees you, as he sees me. Only then will you have the revelation of Christ. First one is ourselves. These four lines caused that man to see his vile estate. The four lines were this: In peace let me resign my breath, and thy salvation see. My sins deserve eternal death, but Jesus died for me. That was all. He sat down. Within 5 minutes, that man was born again. Walked out of that grave. He walked in a dead man into a graveyard. Walked out alive in Christ. Not only eternal life, but abundant life. Superabundant life. The word means above the ordinary. Maybe you don't know that. Maybe you're under the impression that God wants to take something away from you. The devil would like people to think that. God is a God who gives and gives and gives. And he says, I'm not taking anything away from you. I'll take the things that make you miserable away from you. And I'm going to fill up your heart with my love and my joy and my peace and love for lost souls. And you will have a measure of love for me. And you will have power in your life. He just keeps on giving. May God bless you this morning if you're not saved. Now, you know if you're saved or not. I don't know. I know there are young people. One of my boys was that way. He knew all the lingo. He's brought up in the gospel. He knew all the lingo. He could get up and preach. He had professions, a couple of them. But he wasn't saved. You know, the Lord Jesus one time said, let these words sink down into your ears, down to the heart. A lot of people, they don't listen. The sign in Massachusetts, a big billboard, says there's hearing and there's listening. A lot of people just, they're hearing. And at the same time, the gospel, the word of God, is going forth. Never mind me, I'm only a spokesperson for him. They are thinking of something else. Imagine. Thinking of what they're going to do tonight, this afternoon, tomorrow, next week, whatever. And here all the time, it is God Almighty seeking to get your attention. May he do so. Salvation takes place in a moment of time. There's nothing to do but give up. Turn from your own way. That's all God requires. Repentance toward God. A change of mind. I've been living for myself. All these years, I have been seeking to bring pleasure into my heart, not the heart of God. I've not been a woman of God. I've not been a man of God. This book has meant nothing to me. I don't pray. Sounds to me like you're a stranger to God, if that describes you. And I would urge you this morning, if God speaks to your heart, don't let the opportunity go by. The devil would like you to let it go by. He doesn't say no heaven. He doesn't say no hell. He says there's no hurry. That's how he operates. You can get saved tomorrow. But what happens tomorrow? It's not tomorrow. It's today. I'm not getting saved today. I'm getting saved tomorrow. And you see, life goes on one day at a time. That's how he works. We read in Psalm 90 that our years are spent as a tale that is told. Someone wrote about this thief who was crucified with Christ, who believed on Christ. It'd be a sad story, wouldn't it? It'd be a sad story. What a happy ending. Huh? Wait till you get to the last chapter and you find out what happened. Crucified, but who's beside him? But the Savior. The Almighty Savior's beside him. Oh, what a happy ending to that tale. The other thief railed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That would be a tragedy. Now, this man, his circumstances, he was reaping what he had sown. That is a principle of life. Be not deceived, God said. Our hearts deceive us. We have no idea to what extent our own hearts can deceive us. So God says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If I live pleasing myself, independent of God, I will die that way. Sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. The way of the transgressor is hard. Proverbs 13:15. That's living a life without Christ. It's not in my thoughts. So I'm a transgressor. And the way of a transgressor, it's a hard life. His career had been one of crime. He had brought no glory to God. What did he bring? I suppose he brought a lot of sorrow to his family, if he had one. A lot of grief to his mother. My son is a criminal. Maybe he hung out with Barabbas. I don't know. And remorse to himself. Regrets. But it all came to a startling end. That is like the course of sin. There was a mouse, big high plastic garbage can. The little mouse saw some good things down at the bottom, but he particularly enjoyed. He leapt down, and he ate his full. Now I'll go back. Had a problem. Because the inside of the garbage can was slippery. And he couldn't do it. He kept trying and trying and trying. He couldn't do it. Oh, it was easy getting in. Sin is easy to get into. It's all around us. It's easy to get in. Find things you enjoy. But getting out is another matter. It's not so easy. We need the mighty arm of Christ to save us and lift us up from sin. And that's what the little girl did when she saw the mouse. I don't know how many ladies would actually pick up a mouse and set it free, but she did. That's what Christ is doing every day. That's what Christ would like to do this morning to anybody who is here and you are not born again. If you can't look somebody straight in the eye and say, I am as sure of heaven as though I was already there. If you can't say that from your heart, on the authority of the Word of God, you are still in your sins. And if you die today, God forbid, you will be utterly consumed in terror, Psalm 73. Don't be thinking there's some other way. God is no respecter of persons. There's one way, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, brother read this morning, come. And God doesn't mock anybody. Well, if he says come, that means I am capable of coming, and also he'll receive me. He turns away no one. And all takes place within. May God speak to you this morning. I have to understand that I am stained with sin. May God impress that upon your mind and heart this morning. You think maybe you're okay. You're okay with your family. You're okay with your neighbors. You're okay with your co-workers, your fellow students, and so on. But you're not okay with God if you've never been born again. You can't look back to a time when God's hand was heavy upon you with conviction of sin. Things aren't okay. You're a walking dead man. You're a walking dead woman. You have no life in you. Thus saith the Lord. You know, repentance is a change of mind. It's taking sides with God against myself. God says I'm guilty. I haven't felt guilty, maybe. I felt I was okay. I wasn't really bad. Honest man. So on. But now I look into the Word of God, and God says, no. Things aren't okay. As a matter of fact, God says there's none good. Therefore, that includes you. God says there's none righteous, none fit for heaven. Well, that means you. That means me. You have to accept the truth. If you will not believe God, God calls you an unbeliever. And that will haunt you in the prison house of Christ's rejecters for eternity. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, this very meeting will be remembered by you. With what remorse? I cannot even enter into that. And you know what? You'll be angry. We are so full of pride. I can speak for myself. Gnashing of teeth is anger. Angry at God. That's what's going on. That's the atmosphere of hell. Happy? Not one soul. One lady was brought to a gospel meeting. And she was a self-righteous woman. You know, self-righteous means I think I have some righteousness. Boy, look at those women. Look at those men. Oh, you read the newspaper and you see the news and the crime. And in my thinking, our twisted thinking, I have some righteousness. God says, look, if you hope to present your good life to me, in Isaiah, he tells us this plainly, you are, so we get the point, you are offering me, to me, that's filthy rags. Do understand. I have nothing to offer God, nothing. The World Series just got over. Stand in their home plate. Objective, get back to home plate. That'd be nice. Crank one out of the ballpark, get to home base. But you got to get to first base before you get to second base. And you got to get there to get to third, and the third to get home. Now, if you don't get to first base and you're thrown out, you're going nowhere, back to the dugout. First place, first base, the beginning of your salvation will be when God wakes you up. I cannot wake you up. The Holy Spirit of God can wake you up this morning. And that you would understand how awful my life is before God. I'm just living for me. I'm wasting my life. It often takes place in gospel meetings. This is God's way. Simple preaching. He chooses the weak things and the foolish things to confound the wise. That's why He chose me. A career of crime. He sums up his circumstances. What does he say? We indeed justly. He's talking to the thief. See, he agreed. I am nailed to a cross. And I can see my mother over there weeping and wailing. And my children. He said, we're here justly. I'm reaping what I sowed. The due reward of our deeds. Wages of sin is death. Physical, eternal, if I die in my sins. His circumstances are the circumstances of all prior to the great miracle of salvation. Now, he had a concern, an intelligent discern, a thinking man. He says to the other thief, dost not thou fear God? He realized he had to do with a higher court, Pilate. He knew that. Don't know much about this man, but as we read along, he knew a lot. The politician was sick in the hospital. He's dying. Some of his political friends came along. You could see he was just losing weight and dying. One of the men, you know, trying to flatter him or cheer him up, said, you look pretty good today. He said, gentlemen, it's not my appearance that I'm concerned about, it's my disappearance. That's what you have to be concerned about. Do you understand? Is there anybody here who doesn't understand that? Death is no respecter of persons. What do you think? You think you have years and years and years ahead of you? You think that really? Or do you think you're invincible? Do you think you're going to tell God when you're going to get saved? Doesn't work that way. God speaks, He says, come. And when He says, come, we best come. Once you die, it's all over when you die. Don't be deceived. There's no other way. If you die in your sins, the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 8, plain talk. Whither I go, you can't come. They say, well, you know, it's how you interpret the Bible. How do you interpret that? You can't come. I think there's only one way to interpret that. If I die in my sins, I can't go to heaven. Somebody wrote, as a tree falls, so shall it lie. As a man lives, so shall he die. You want to live your life without Christ? God will let you. He'll let you. As a tree falls, so shall it be. As a man lives, so shall he die. As a man dies, so shall he be. All through the days of eternity. You want a life Christless. Don't want the Word of God. You don't want to turn from going your own way. You want to take the control of your life and pass them over to Christ. That's marvelous. But if you don't, do understand solemnly, if you're determined to go your own way, God will let you. You think about that. God's good to you. God is so good to you. You are here. You're breathing. You can hear. You can understand. He's given you another opportunity, hasn't He? He's calling you specifically this morning. You. Isn't He a great, wonderful God to do that? To watch over you. To bring you. He loves you. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. His concern was, dost not thou fear God? He that believeth on the Son, not condemned. If I don't believe on the Son, God says, I am condemned already. I have to come to the point. There has to be a great turning point in the life. And I'm not happy. And my sin bothers me. It's a marvelous time. The sweetest emotion of all. It's not love. It's repentance. Oh, what a sweet emotion. Makes a man cry on his knees before God or a woman. His circumstances, his concern. He's a great concern, rightly so. Notice his confidence. His confidence in the one hanging in the midst. The Lord Jesus Christ. He was considered worse than ordinary criminals. Romans only crucified the lowest of the low. And in their minds, the Jews were the lowest of the low. They didn't crucify Roman citizens. The cross is an emblem of rejection. That's what it is. And that's our statement. That was our statement to God Almighty. We will take your Son. We will nail Him to a cross of rejection. That's our final answer. We don't want Him. We don't want Him. Just like in Gadara. Depart out of our course. And notice what He said, He went. He's hanging with the transgressors. Isaiah said He would be 8 centuries before. His sinlessness. It's amazing the comprehension this man had. He said, this man hath done nothing amiss. He knew that. And our sins were laid on Him. He was punished for us. Girl, 12 years old. Her mother asked her if she was afraid to die. She said, no. She said, what are you depending, dear? They're just, I don't know, doing dishes or something. She said, I'm the justice of God. The mother said, you mean the mercy of God, don't you? This is what she said. No, actually, mother, 12 years old. I mean the justice of God. You know, mother, all my sins were laid on Jesus, and He bore my punishment. God in His justice will not punish me too. A little child understood that. That's the simplicity of the gospel. He died for you. His deity, Lord. That is an amazing confession at such a time, isn't it? What did He look like? Did He look like a regal king sitting on a throne? You'd bow down and say, Lord. He's nailed to a cross, crown of thorns. His back. They laid His back down, that old splinter-filled cross. They nailed Him. They nailed Him to the cross. He was probably about that high. His head would be about right there. When they came and mocked Him, they'd look right into those eyes. His visage was so marred more than any man. Look at these things now. I can't even stand it. I can't watch it. It's called Ultimate Fighting. It's absolutely amazing. Brutal. I see some of their faces. And it made me think. Our Lord's face looked worse than that. We do not know how many times with their fists. With hate. Imagine, you hate the person. And you're going to deliver him a blow he'll never forget. And they did. Again and again and again and again. I have to believe in the sinless, holy, perfect, separate from sinners. That's why he could take my place. There is a poem, "What Think Ye of Christ?" is the test. To try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. As Jesus appears to your view, as he is loved or not, so God is disposed to you, and mercy or wrath is your lot. What do you think of Christ? What does he mean to you? To most people, he means nothing. They're just rather indifferent. Oh, they like this time of year. They like the Christmas carols and hymns about Christ. But as far as Christ being the center of their life, the majority of people do not want that. We're stubborn. We're proud. Saw a man down in Worcester, all jacked up from Gold's Gym or something, you know, made sure the t-shirt was tight so everybody could see how ripped he was. And on the front it said this, "I'm in control." I thought, well, most people are. They don't wear t-shirts that say so. But that's how they live. I control my life. You know what God says? That makes you an unbeliever. That makes you condemned already, and my wrath is abiding right over your head right now. His kingship. That's superscription. He saw it. This is Jesus, the King, the Jews. And even the resurrection. This man, even the disciples were slow to believe and understand. This man had no problem. He says, "You're a king. You're going to have a kingdom. A king has a kingdom. You're going to come into this kingdom in resurrection." So he says, "When thou comest." And he believed in the power the Lord Jesus Christ to save him, didn't he? "When thou comest," he says, "remember me. Remember me." A whole lot was entailed in that. Remember me. If that man had have been spared, that man would have lived a different life. Remember me. What's he saying? "Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. If I had it to do over again, I'd do it over again." He could add, "If I had another opportunity," he knew he didn't have one, "I'd begin today." You know, when he woke up that morning, he probably didn't wake up. He probably was awake all night. He knew it was his last day on earth. God was good to that man. Because none of us here in this room know when I'm going to tie my shoes in the morning for the last time. And the undertaker maybe will take them off at nighttime. This man knew. He knew. Now he's thinking very intelligently. And his willingness to forgive. He heard him cry, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." He understood. He understood about Christ many, many things. And he certainly understood enough to be saved. "And I want you to know that thus saith the Lord, I do believe I have given you enough truth for you to be saved this morning." God loves you. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. What he wants to do is save you. Receive you into his family and make a new man, a new woman out of you. His call was simple. No mention of any prayers said or mercy, grace, forgiveness. It was a call of faith. Remember me. What he's saying is, "Lord, if I was down today from this cross, I wouldn't go my own way anymore. I'd live my life for you." A simple call. And finally, his comfort. What comfort? What comfort did he receive? Amazing, amazing comfort. Truly, assuredly, certainly is verily, I, the Lord Jesus, I say unto thee, not to the other thief. He could only think, he could see past his nose. He could see past sunset, sunrise, that's it. Earthly man. Notice what he said, get me down too so I can run off and enjoy my life a little bit more. He didn't say it to him. We don't read him saying it to anybody else either. Few there be that find it. And if you surrender your all and give life your Christ, your life to Christ this morning and believe on him, you will be among the few that have found it. Is there a secret? Is there a key that unlocks the mystery of life? Yes. And you're hearing it this morning. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the most wonderful message in the world. It is the most powerful message in the world. It changes men and women and makes them fit for heaven. Citizens of heaven is what we are who are saved. What a pillow to lay his head upon. Verily, I say unto thee, thou shalt be with me in paradise. He prayed for a place in the kingdom. He's given a place in paradise. He prayed for a future blessing. He was blessed today. And those two words, with me, they must have really stuck in his mind. He's sinless. My life has been nothing but sin. And he said he wants me with him. Well, that's what he wants. What does he want? He wants your life. That's what he wants. Would you be willing this morning to turn your life? Give him the controls of your life. Tell him you're sorry for your sin. And say, Lord, I believe you died for me. I believe what the scripture says. My sins were laid on you. How? I don't understand. But I know you paid the penalty. I believe on you, Lord Jesus. From now on in my life, I want to live for you by your grace. I turn from my sin. And if you say I'm saved, then I'm saved. And I'll tell my wife, and I'll tell my husband, and I'll tell my children, and my neighbors, and my co-workers. I am a Christian. Finally. The little girl just said, I thank Jesus he was punished instead of me. See how children readily get this? He was punished instead of me. The sum and substance of the glad tidings of salvation. Salvation is without works. It's without merit. It's a free gift. God offers it to you once again. And it's up to you whether or not you receive the gift. God's spoken to your heart. You want to speak with anyone further about salvation? We'd be delighted to talk to you after meeting. May God bless you. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we draw near thee and thank thee. This message will never change. We know that, Father. It's a perfect message concerning thy perfect Son. We have been perfected forever. Those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Perhaps there's some here not in Christ Jesus, but in sin. Father, we pray that thy Holy Spirit might deal with them in a very special way and cause them to see. Oh, give them that revelation of themselves. As Isaiah had, I'm a man of unclean lips. As Job, I'm vile. I repent in dust and ashes. Oh, God, give that great revelation. And then the revelation of why Christ was on that cross. We ask thy blessing and give thanks in that precious name, Lord Jesus Christ.